The following study is a Sunday morning lesson given by guest speaker Tad Slaughter at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
Well, good morning. I'm Tad. Brett is away at a family wedding this weekend, so he's unable to be with us. Hey, why don't you grab your Bibles, and we're going to look at a passage today from Matthew chapter 11. I'll warn you while you're turning to Matthew 11, 25. Today's study will be maybe a little bit different style. I think we're going to take it a little bit more along the style of the way I teach in Vanuatu. That's where I've been living the last, well, most of the last 15 years. Been here for the last year, but we're probably heading back at some point. We don't have any idea. We just believe the Lord will open the door at the right time. But it's a small country in the middle of the Pacific. Things are slow there and a lot more conversational. So that's kind of the tone I hope it will have this morning. I want to look at a passage that I think probably just about everybody here is familiar with. So look at this. Matthew 11:25. It says, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this is a great passage. I mean, it says so many great things. We learn about Jesus. He tells us something about himself, that he is humble and that he, well, he's very approachable. This is something I love about the Lord. But also, we love to hear where he says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. He's saying, come to me. If you're tired, if you're wiped out, if you're feeling just drained, he said, come to me. Now here's the thing that I want to do today. Normally, when we think about this verse, we usually, at least, let's put it this way, I have always taken this passage to think about the times when my life is just horrible. Honestly, when things are really bad, when I'm really drained, when I'm just feeling like I can't go on anymore, or when there's a tragedy or something that's big that's come against me in my life that I just think, oh, I can't handle it. Those are the times that I apply this verse. You know how what I'm talking about? How we tend to take certain verses and apply them in one area or one way, and then it kind of gets stuck there, and we forget that there might be a meaning for another area of life. Well, this is one of those passages that I believe really applies across the board in our life. And here's what I'm talking about. This morning, I want us to think about ministry. Now, I know a lot of you guys are probably saying, oh, great. We're going to talk about ministry. Oh, that'll be interesting for you because you're in the ministry. You're a missionary. So therefore, no wonder you're going to talk about this. Let's just talk about you. If you guys want to, I'll talk about me. That's actually kind of fun for me. But honestly, the reason I want to talk about ministry is that's just a fancy way of saying, in my opinion, like we could just say walking with the Lord, serving the Lord. Okay? So if I say ministry, you can also substitute the words serving the Lord or your walk with the Lord, the things you do for him. Or really, just your life as you live it for him. So here's the thing. You can write a lot of today. There's going to be a ton of stories that I'm alluding to, passages that I'm going to hit on, but we're not going to turn to everyone because we don't have time. And honestly, no, truthfully, in Vanuatu, I probably would go to each story, would study each one, spend a lot of time, but we teach for a couple hours there. So I'm trying to dial it back to something that you guys can endure. So let's pray. No, we're finished. No, you're like, yes. Oh. But But write down in your notes 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and just put verse 5 through 9 if you want. 2, 5 through 9. And I'm just going to read you a passage. Again, it's probably one you're at least somewhat familiar with. And actually, I'm just going to highlight a couple of parts of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But in verse 5, Peter says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Then in verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." You see, first off, he says, you're going to be priests. But then he says, oh, by the way, you are priests. So that applies to, by the way, you can read this passage. It's talking to everybody here. All of us are called to be priests for the Lord. In other words, the Lord wants us to have that kind of relationship with him, where we can talk to him on behalf of others when we pray. We can serve him by saying, Lord, here is my life. Do with me what you want. May my life be pleasing to you. May it be an offering to you. When we offer a sacrifice of praise, those are things that we can do as priests, okay? Now, I know probably if you guys are like me, you'd rather not think of yourself in those terms. In other words, it sounds a little intimidating to think of yourself as a priest. I am not comfortable with that. When I think about who I am, I think, man, I'm such a dork. You know, I don't have what it takes. You know, because in my mind, I picture the pointy hat and the long robes. I could see walking around with a you know, whatever that stick thing is. That would be kind of cool. I think that might be fun. But the rest of it, I just can't really relate to, honestly. And I think sometimes we get stuck in our minds, well, that's not me, and so therefore we dismiss it. But the Word says, the Lord says to you, you are a priest. So you say, okay, now you've talked about one passage, and you're hitting on another. What's the connection? Here's the connection. Jesus says in the end of that passage in Matthew 11, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And before that, what does he say? If you're weary and heavy laden or burdened, come to me. And here's what part of that passage that I want us to think about this morning. Not so much the way that applies in hard times in your life or through hardships or trials or those kinds of things. We already know that. We've understood that. But the part I want you to think about is maybe, let's just say, the rest of your life, the good times, the times when you're just wanting to do something for the Lord, or you're saying, Lord, use me. And he's saying, okay, first thing you need to know is if something comes from the Lord, it's going to be easy and light. That doesn't mean life will be easy and light. We know that that's not true. Life will be difficult and, well, I'll just say it, horrible. You know what I'm saying? I know, we're not supposed to be so pessimistic. Oh, but it's true, isn't it? While we're here, we're living in a fallen world. Things aren't right. Things are frustrating. You turn on the radio only to smash it a minute later. you know what I'm talking about? Well, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. I drive a car with no radio for a reason. But here's the thing. If Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we've come to Jesus, and he's given us rest. We experience that. Then why is it that we go on from there and continue to live our life weary and heavy laden? That doesn't make sense, does it? But somehow we think, oh, that's normal. And so what I want to do this morning is talk about that just a little bit and kind of think through what is it that we think is okay about living for the Lord and being wiped out and tired and weary. Now, let me say this. the kind of weariness I'm talking about doesn't have to do with your physical energy, okay? That's what I would just call tired, okay? That's normal. Being tired is normal. That's not bad. But being weary, feeling like, man, this is so hard, and mentally I'm just failing here, and I'm just constantly living in a state of exhaustion, that, I believe, is not from the Lord. And so here's the thing. We know being tired is okay. There's nothing wrong with being tired. Jesus was tired. Jesus was tired in ministry. Again, John chapter 4, you can write it down. It's the story where Jesus meets the woman at the well. And in that chapter, we find out that Jesus and his disciples had gone for a fairly lengthy walk. And they got into Samaria, and Jesus was tired, and he was hungry. And so he sat down beside the well, and he sent the disciples off to go find some food. So without getting into that story, without thinking about that too much, the fact is Jesus was tired, okay? What I'm saying is that's normal. It's okay for us to be tired. But the part I'm thinking about is, why is it that we think it's okay to just be tired all the time and wiped out all the time and feeling like I want to serve the Lord, but I'm just... Every time I try to do something for him, it's just so much work. It's so hard. It doesn't seem to work or whatever. I think there's a couple of things that I want us to think about that may be a reason for that, okay? And the first thing is fairly obvious, and that is if we are trying to serve the Lord and work in our own power, that's going to be a problem because we're not enough. Our strength is not enough to do things for the Lord. He can't use that kind of strength. Do you understand that? The Lord wants to use us, but he wants to also be the one to empower us, to give us the strength, to give us the energy to do whatever it is he's calling us to do. And in that story in John with Jesus at the well, when he began to speak to that woman, they had quite a conversation, and then she went on her way, and the disciples returned, and they had food, but Jesus didn't even want the food. He said, hey, I'm good. I've had food that you don't know about. And the point is, he received strength from the Father. Even as he was sitting there at the well, he didn't really get much of a rest. It wasn't because he sat down, oh, I'm fine because I took a break while you guys walked to the town. No, he got energy. He was restored by the Father. And so, you know, for us, we have to be careful that we're not just trying to do things in our own strength. Moses did that. There were the one big failing that we read in Moses' life, the one thing that kept him from entering into the promised land, was when he misrepresented the Lord. And you can read about this, write this down, Numbers chapter 20, around verse 8. Right there, the Lord tells Moses, hey, I want you to give the people water. The people had been complaining, nothing new. They kind of complained a lot. And they'd been complaining, and Moses was frustrated, but the Lord said, I'm going to give them water. I want you to go out, speak to the rock, the same rock that Moses had struck before, years before. Now the Lord says, go speak to that rock, and water will come out. So Moses went out, and instead of speaking to the rock, he started speaking to the people, which is a big mistake. He should have kept talking to the Lord, but instead he started talking to people. And I believe as he looked at the people, he was reminded by looking at their faces, oh yeah, you've been complaining. You've been such a whiner. Yeah, you're sitting up in the front now, but you've been dragging behind for weeks or whatever. You know, I don't know what he was really thinking, but those are the kind of things. He's looking out over really a couple million people. And he got frustrated. And then he, as he spoke to the people, he said, you rebels, must we get water for you? And he was taking it all upon himself, instead of pointing people to the Lord. And the Lord said, that's the mistake, Moses, that's going to cost you. You can't go in the promised land now. Why? Well, you guys know, I think you've heard this enough, but it was ruining the type, the picture of Jesus being struck once when he was on the cross and providing living waters for you and me. But anyway, Moses, I believe, was just relying on his own strength, his own long-suffering, his own endurance with the people, and it didn't cut it, and he failed. We need to rely on the Lord. We need to speak to him and draw our strength from him and follow the things that he says for us to do. Well, another thing we can do as far as kind of using our own strength And this is the one I think we Americans really miss the boat a lot in, and that is we don't follow what the Lord says because maybe it's too simple. It's too basic. And we think, I've got another plan. And I think I'm going to do this for the Lord in this way. And that's what David did. There was a story in 2 Samuel chapter 6 where, you can write that down, 2 Samuel chapter 6, where David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant and thereby, in a sense, saying, Lord, we're bringing you. Because that was the same Ark that the Lord had been present over. And David's saying, we want you close to us here in Jerusalem. And so when he began to take the ark from its place where they just kind of stuck it in a barn for a while, they threw it on the back of a cart. Now that's a big mistake because there was really only one way to carry the ark. That was called people, the Levites. And they were supposed to take the ark, put these poles through the rings in the ark, and then certain men were supposed to carry the ark. Even not just any priest, but a certain family. Anyway, they didn't do that. They threw it on the cart. They start the cart going back toward Jerusalem. They go a little ways, and what happens? You guys may remember the story. The oxen stumbled. The cart kind of tipped. It looked as though the ark was going to fall down, and a man named Uzzah reached out to steady the ark. What happened? He died. Why? Because what he did was wrong. We don't see it that way. We think, oh, that poor guy, all he was trying to do was help God. Get it? See, that's a problem. The Lord doesn't need us to go, oh, Lord, be okay? No, he's all right. They were doing the wrong thing. Let me put it this way. They were doing the right thing the wrong way. And the reason it was the wrong way is because it was man's way. And when we try to do the Lord's work in our way, that's a problem. When the Lord tells you, live, walk in the Spirit. In other words, live with me. Just include me in everything you're doing. That's right there. That's the key to a successful life in the Lord. It's not in following a bunch of rules that you make for yourself or a schedule that you follow. You see, that's you. That's you saying, this is how I am going to draw near to the Lord. We have to be careful. If we're not, we'll find ourselves dying on the side of the road. That's the way it feels. And I know because I've been there in ministry. There have been times when I feel like, oh, man, what if I'm just about dead. What's going on? And then I realize, ooh, I'm doing something my way. I know Brett told you guys a story. I think maybe it was Wednesday night, so maybe a lot of you weren't there. But there was one special service at Applegate years ago where Brett and I were working the Sunday school. And it was a nighttime service. I think it was a New Year's Eve service. It was a New Year's Eve service. And because we wanted everybody who normally works with the kids to be in the service, we took all the kids. But we knew we couldn't take them all, so we only took the kindergarten down. Well, this was a service that went late into the night. And Brett and I had 70-something kindergarten down kids in a small classroom, not as big as the classrooms here. Now, at first it was okay. You just let chaos reign for a little while and just make sure nobody gets hurt. But then after a while, that chaos begins to grind. Your ears get sick of it. And pretty soon you find yourself twitching. And because this was just one of those things, we also had a whole bunch of kids we'd never seen before and a whole bunch of really bad kids. They were evil, I'm telling you. And that night, all I can remember is that try as we might, we couldn't keep the class going right. And we were trying hard, and we had lots of experience. We'd been working with the kids for long time, and usually, you know, we could have big groups of older kids and no problem. Well, this night it was late, it was past their bedtime, they were grumpy, they hadn't had enough snacks, or they'd had too many snacks early, maybe that was the thing. And all I can tell you is when that night was over, so was I. I felt like I am done. And I hadn't felt, I'd worked with junior high kids for like 10 years, and that was never too much of a problem. But man, I was wiped out. And I know Brett was too, but I was the one who was feeling like, you know what? I am not called. I am done. Lord, sorry, I'm checking out. That's how I felt in my heart. I never said anything. I never did anything about it. Even the next day, the next week, 2 weeks later, I'm still feeling it. I'm not joking. This is weird for me because I'm not a person who feels things. It's like, I still have a sensation of anger. No, but here's the thing. The Lord made it clear to me, Tad, here's the problem. You were doing that. It wasn't me. You were in that class. You were forgetting me. I was like, well, we did a story. That doesn't matter. It wasn't him. He hadn't necessarily put me there. I had put myself there. And so what I'm saying is we need to be careful that we don't just take things because we think that's what we're supposed to do. You find yourself weary. You find yourself thinking, man, I am not supposed to be in ministry or doing things for the Lord. That's the big lie. The Lord has things planned for each one of us. Each one of you guys has something the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to use you. I guarantee that. I know that for a fact. Well, there's another thing, and I've already kind of alluded to it, and that is that we tend to complicate things. And that's a way that we can really get into trouble in ministry. And that is when we don't stick, like I was saying, with the simple thing the Lord has given us, and we make it complex. You know, Eve did that in the garden. You can write down 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'll read it to you real quick. There's a little verse there that Paul talks about what happened with Eve, and I think it's kind of interesting. He says, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from the simplicity and purity that is in Christ." You see, Eve had a very simple understanding with the Lord, Adam and Eve both. You know what it was? The Lord told them one thing that they were not allowed to do. Now think about this. They had one thing. Everything that they thought of, they could do. Anything that they could think of to do, they could do. There was one thing they couldn't do. One. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree. One tree in the whole garden, which I don't know if it covered the entire earth or not, but whatever that area was, you know, it wasn't small. One thing, don't eat of that tree. Now, if they had wanted to, was it okay for them to go climb that tree? Yeah. Could they jump out of that tree? Yes. Could they cut down that tree? Yes. They could do anything they wanted, but they couldn't eat the fruit. Could they hang glide or maybe they didn't need to hang glide. I don't know. Maybe they're... Who knows? Anything they could have thought to do, they could have done, and it would have been fine. One thing that they couldn't do, eat the fruit. Eve finds herself near the tree. Was she thinking of eating the fruit? I don't know. She's near the tree, starts talking to the serpent. They have a conversation, and instead of keeping to the simple thing that she knew, don't eat, she got into this discussion, and the serpent deceived her. We have to be careful that we aren't deceived and pulled away from the simplicity that is in Jesus. Walking with him, loving him, living for him, and just doing things his way. And as you read the word, you don't see a lot of complex programs, ways to reach your community. You don't see all sorts of things to do for God. It's really simple. It's called live your life with Jesus, walk with him, and see what he does. Read the book of Acts. We know that the church did certain things. They met all the time. But we don't know how they did it. They just did. We see that Paul and Barnabas, they went out. How did they go out? What did they do? They walked around. And they went from town to town and they shared where they could. And when they couldn't, they left. And I'm simplifying things a little bit, but essentially, when you read the stories, that is what happened. Paul and Barnabas didn't write books. They didn't have a lot of programs of what to do, how to be successful, any of that stuff. It was called, they lived their lives. And the reason I'm sharing this with you guys is because I really believe that's what God calls us to do. Just live your life with Him. Include Him in what you're doing. Allow Him to move. And let Him lead you. When you do that, you won't find yourself so weary. Okay? Because Jesus said, if you're weary, come to me. Then there's the second half of this. And this is the one that I find really interesting. Burdened. Why do I find that interesting? Because so many times when you talk to people about ministry, we always talk about our burdens. I don't know if you, and I know I might be mixing the meanings of that word a little bit, but a lot of people talk about, oh, I've got such a burden for this or that. Honestly, if you're burdened, if it doesn't lead you to prayer, then the burden's wrong. Honestly. That's my opinion. Because the Lord doesn't give us burdens. He may put something on your heart. He may lead you in certain ways, but you're not going to be heavy laden. He's not going to put a weight on you. He says His burden is light. Well, what are some ways that we burden ourselves in ministry? And again, we're going to move fairly quickly. I don't want to keep you guys too long this morning. That's a pastor's way of saying it's going to be a long time still, but I'm feeling bad about it, so bear with me. I'm just trying to be honest. But here's what we can do. Sometimes we burden ourselves. Maybe the Lord's told us something that we put on our heart, and we think, oh, I'd love to reach out to this group or whatever. But I begin to serve the Lord, but then what happens is I take my eyes off the Lord, and I put them on the needs. If I or you, if we look at the needs and think, how am I going to meet those needs? You're going to be in trouble. I guarantee it. You know why? The needs are always too much. I said this last night, and there were a lot fewer people, but I can say it again now. The fact is this. We cannot meet the needs that are in this room. There are so many needs. Each one of us has so many things that are either wrong or where we need help, or we need encouragement, or we need to change. We can't meet those needs. It's just too much. And so when you start trying to live your life based on meeting needs, good luck with that. It's not going to work. What's going to happen is maybe you'll meet a need here and there, but you're going to see the ocean of need in front of you. Jesus didn't live to meet the needs of the people. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. Some of the people were pretty demanding. Some people, like us, were saying to the Lord, man, Lord, if you'd only been here, you forgot about us. Who did that? Martha. You remember when Lazarus was dying, Mary and Martha, some friends of Lazarus, sent out a note to Jesus, sent a messenger or whatever saying, please come, your friend Lazarus is sick. And Jesus came, but oops, it was too late. Lazarus was dead. Now, in the eyes of the people, it's like, they're thinking, Lord, what's the deal? We asked you to come. You weren't that far. You're a couple of miles away. Why didn't you come? You could have just come in the evening and gone back. They could have had all sorts of conversations with him. They say, too bad you didn't come before. There was something you probably could have helped him. That's what they said. But Jesus didn't come at that time. He didn't do that. Why? Well, we know from other places, Jesus said that he only did that which the Father told him to do. He only spoke the words that the Father told him to speak. And so here's the thing. The Father apparently didn't tell Jesus to go and be with Lazarus, even though he had a huge need. And not only did Lazarus have a need, but all the people who loved him had a need. There was a huge group of people that were in need. They needed Jesus, and he didn't show up. But it was because the Father had another plan. And Jesus did show up, by the way. It was just not in their timing. He didn't do what they thought he was going to do. Actually, he did something kind of a lot better. So my point is, Jesus didn't live thinking about meeting needs. He came to do one thing, and that was to please the Father. And what did the Father want Jesus to do? To die for your sins and mine. And he loved us so much that he did that. Now that's meeting the needs. And Jesus is the only one who can do that. Well, the other thing that I think you should watch out for is as far as why we might get burdened. And again, this comes from the Word. You can write this down, Acts chapter 6. You can read the story there. And it's a story of basically of a group of guys who were totally burdened. They were worn out, and they were doing a bad job at serving the Lord. They were called the elders. they were taking on work that was not meant for them. And the Lord showed that to them. And so here's the thing. We have to be careful that we don't take on work that's not meant for us. Me in that kid's classroom. That was a job that was not meant for me. Or maybe I should say, I was not meant for that job. But when you take on things that are not meant for you, you're going to get wiped out. You're going to be burdened. You're going to be feeling, man, I'm such a failure. I never can do it. I just don't know what to do. The elders, they were trying to help feed the widows and people, and they were doing a bad job. People were getting overlooked. So they chose the deacons in that story in Acts chapter 6. And then the Lord blessed the church, and not just right there, but the word went out with power all over the place. It's a great story. If you want the Lord's work to go out with power in your life, make sure you're only doing the things that he calls you to do. Don't start taking on jobs that aren't for you. And let me just say this. If you're really busy all the time, and you're just running from this place to that, and you feel like your life is hectic, I'm going to step out on a limb. You're wrong. Your life shouldn't be that way. We'll get to that in a minute. The last thing I want you to think about as far as these burdens is it's very easy to become burdened when you're serving the Lord, you're walking with him. I'll put that in quotes. You're walking with him, you're living for Jesus, but you're actually forgetting him. What am I talking about? Again, that story with Martha, it's a different time. She was talking to Jesus, and she was frustrated because they had Jesus over to their house, had dinner, and whatever they did. We just know that Jesus was there. They were eating. And Martha got really frustrated because she was doing all the work. And her sister, Mary, what was she doing? Nothing. Sitting around doing nothing. And Martha had it. She kept walking by. I think this is the way I picture it in my mind. She keeps walking by the room and giving Mary hints. You know, I need your help. You know, maybe she's out the doorway where Jesus can't see her. She's like, you know, well, I don't know what she's doing. Just get in here. And Mary doesn't even see her. That just makes Martha more angry. Holy. This is my interpretation. So finally, she's going by and she says, Lord, Jesus, don't you see I am working my fingers to the bone and my sister is not helping me? Can you send her in here, please? Well, what did Jesus say? He said, Martha, you're worried about a lot of stuff, and you don't need to be. Your sister, on the other hand, is doing the one thing that she should be doing, and that's hanging out, being here with me. And you see, sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget to spend time with Jesus. Now, yes, I might be talking about your devotional time, but I'm also talking about just including the Lord throughout the day. Talk to him. I know you get busy at work. I know things get hectic. I know sometimes you got a lot of stuff going on. You're on the phone or whatever. But talk to the Lord. Listen. Say, okay, Lord, I've got 30 seconds. Is there anything you want to say? It's okay. But really, honestly, when you find out that you only have 30 seconds, then maybe you should be saying, Lord, am I worried about many things and I'm forgetting the one? And let me say this, if you're doing something that we would consider ministry, that's all the more dangerous time. Because so often when we're doing things that we are saying, this is for the Lord, that gives us the justification to just forget the Lord, because we're doing this for him so I can spend all my energy and all my focus right here. And if we really forget the Lord, it's one of those stupid things that happens, but that's exactly what happened in that story. Jesus is right there. Martha is serving Jesus, yet she's forgetting him. So watch out for that. It's a real danger. So here's the deal. I want to read this last verse to you again. We've alluded to it a lot, but listen. Jesus says what? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if a burden is light, does that make it really much of a burden? Like, would you brag if you were going on a hike? Let's say you're just, we'll make it a hike that we can all do. You're just going to go to the top of Multnomah Falls. Now, are you going to brag? I made that hike and I was carrying my wallet. Okay, I know, that was a lot. I made that hike and I was wearing clothes. Now, in Portland, that might be a surprise. But but no. Wow, that's so impressive. You carried your wallet. Ooh, you're really fit. It's not much of a burden, right? So you couldn't say it's a burden. But when Jesus says, my burden is light, that's like saying, my burden is not a burden. My burden isn't. I love that. Jesus wants us to know that his yoke, in other words, the work that he has for us is easy and his burden is light. That's awesome. I mean, now let me tell you something. As Americans, we read that, and when I say these things, I know there's a number of you in here who are probably thinking, you're saying that Jesus wants us to be lazy. And I won't be saying that. But I will say this, that I believe his work, if we were to do only what his work was for us, you will have people thinking you're lazy. Very possibly. Because I believe the Lord's work for us is easy and it's light. So how does that work out? You get to do things that you enjoy and count that as something the Lord has for you. Why? Because if he has given you something that you love and you have the ability to do it and you can include him in it, then my guess is that's something he's given to you and he's going to show you a way that he'll use that for his pleasure. You know, a lot of people joke around about the motorcycle ministry on Tuesday evenings around here. You know, we give Brett a bad time about that all the time. Oh yeah, real ministry. Go out and play around on your dirt bike. But you know what? Here's the truth. It is ministry. I guarantee it. There's a lot of great things that happen. And it's not just because there's a Bible study that happens at the end of it. Honestly, that's part of it. But I think the ministry takes place throughout the whole time. And the Lord's in it. There's no doubt. I've been to a couple of times. I haven't ridden because that's not easy for me. That's not where I'm called. I'm called My easy ministry is, well, I'm not going to tell you because you'll think I'm lazy. So, and you'll tease me, and I'm sensitive. But here's what I'm trying to remind us of this morning. The Lord says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And then we turn around and we say, no, the Lord said, and we quote a verse where it sounds like there's some serious work to do. Okay, I'll give you one because I'm a missionary. I'll read you this one. And just see if people have used this to beat you a few times. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The Great Commission. But how many times have we heard that Great Commission preached at us as though it's the great obligation? You have to go. If you're not actively serving and working in global missions, you're in sin. I don't know if you've heard those kinds of things. I hear it all the time because I'm around that part of the church a lot. It's stupid. I'll be honest with you. That's dumb. Why? Because we're forgetting. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So for me, I'll be honest with you, going to Vanuatu is easy. It's easy. Do I love bugs? No. Do I just crave the food in Vanuatu? No. As a matter of fact, I'm a wimp with that kind of stuff. Do I love germs? No. People laugh at me because I like to keep my iPhone or my iPad really clean. I don't like my computer having dust on it. They say, and you're a missionary? You live in dirt? And I do, we do. But I'll tell you something. That's something that's for the Lord, and so it's easy. It's a piece of cake for me, that kind of stuff. I love it. It's where my heart is. But if I said to you, you, therefore, must go to Vanuatu and enjoy life there, you may go and find out you hate it. I have good friends who've been there and don't like it at all. They say, oh, yeah, it's pretty, but get me out of here. It's way too hot. It's way too humid. The people are different than we are. The food is gross. There's too many bugs. And I say, you know, you're right. Go home. Please. You can't relax. You can't slow down. You can't take a minute to talk to people. Go home. Go to America where you don't have to talk to people. You know what I'm saying, I think, maybe. The point is, this is something, and the reason I'm taking so much time and talking about it is this is something that I really believe the Lord has been teaching me for the last, I'll just say 3 or 4 years in Vanuatu. And that is to understand that what he's giving to me is easy and light. That doesn't mean that it's going to be no work, that I'm not going to work really hard, that I'm not going to be busy, but it's not going to be hard. It's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that I won't feel from time to time the Lord putting on my heart to pray for people and things like that, but it's not a burden where I go, oh, my poor me, it's so heavy. I hate that. There's nothing more disgusting to me than people whining about something God has done in their life. Why? Because it means God didn't do it. Because his things that he has for us, they're easy and light. So here's what I want to do. I want to just give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about, and at least how the Lord's done this in my life. And you can take it or leave it, but maybe it'll help put a little real life application to what I'm talking about. So what I've noticed in Vanuatu is the way the Lord works through me there is when I'm not expecting it. Yes, the Lord blesses the normal Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. We have church there just like we do here. And all the normal daily stuff, yes, the Lord blesses those things just like he blesses here. But I'm talking about the things where you go, wow, that was the Lord. Okay, you know the difference of what I'm talking about? Like when you just bump into somebody, you have a conversation, you go, wow, that was the Lord. It's always that kind of thing. And here's one of them. There's a village, there are many villages in Vanuatu that are closed to the gospel. They've had a chance to receive the gospel. The missionaries have been there, and the people have said, no, no thank you, and don't come back. This village, this boundary, you are not allowed in. And my son Joel and one of the pastors with us there, Bradley, were on a hike. And honestly, what were they doing? They were having fun. Because Joel was, this is about 4 years ago, he's getting ready to go to college. And I said, Joel, before you go, you've got to see some more of Vanuatu. I said, so I want you and Bradley to just go do something together. So they went to this other island, and part of what they're doing, they're just hiking the length of this island. They had no agenda, no time frame. I told them, you can be gone, you know, 3 weeks or whatever. And so, and this is a big thing because we knew we wouldn't have any contact. There'd be no phone calls or anything. And so they left. They went over to another island, a little distant. And they're hiking, enjoying the scenery. Then they think, hey, let's go to that village. And they wanted to go to the village. Why? To see it. It's been in National Geographic. It's been on Tribal Life TV show, if you've seen that. It's been on a couple things. It's famous all over the world because it's where they do that bungee jumping without the bungees, with just vines. You know what I'm talking about? And the towers that they jump off of aren't metal. There's not even a piece of metal in the whole tower. It's just bamboo and sticks and vines tying the thing together. They say, let's go see those people. So they start the hike, which is quite a hike. And as they're going on the hike, they run into a guy on the trail. Now, this guy, Bebe Bung Bungum, just start talking to these guys. And Bradley is what I would call a stealth missionary or a stealth Christian. In other words, you're not going to know until he's got you. In other words, you're going to meet him and you're going to think, this is the nicest guy I've ever met. I love him. And it won't matter. He could have every one of you in this place just saying, I love that guy. And you wouldn't even know why. It's a gift, honestly. And he just knows how to talk to people. So he starts talking to this guy and they're just talking. And they're talking about all sorts of stuff. And Bebe loves Bradley. And he likes Joel. Now, Joel's white. He's my son. So that's a downer there in that situation. But he's accepting Joel, you know, because his radars are going to be up. And they don't tell him, oh, we're missionaries. They just talk to him. We're people. We're out for a hike. You know what I'm saying? And here's what's so great is we actually have what I would say, I'm not going to say we have an open door to go into that village now. But I would say that the door is ajar, which is more than anybody else can say right now. Now, I'm not saying that to boast because I don't have anything to do with it. But I am saying it because that is an opportunity that I believe Bradley may have that nobody else has. And we talked to a lot of Christians in that area, and that is closed, closed, closed. I went a few years later, a couple of years ago. I went in as a tourist, found Bebe, said, hey, Bebe, bong bong, you know my friend. And he's like, who? And I tell him, and he's, oh, Bradley, oh, one good friend, you know. And he's like, oh, I've been meaning to call him, because now they have phones. And I said, well, here, I'll give you his phone number. And a little while later, he calls Bradley. They've had conversations, and now they've talked about the Lord a little bit. It's pretty cool. I believe it's one of those things that God is doing, because it's impossible on man's level. The churches there have been trying to get in for decades. Another one. This one's a little bit easier maybe for you guys to relate to. I was in town, and town is hot most of the time, but during one part of the year, it's just horribly hot and horribly humid. And you go shopping, you do whatever you have to do, and you're just completely drained after a couple of hours. Well, it was a couple hours. It was lunchtime. Lunch means everything's closed for 2 hours. 11:30 to 1:30, everything's shut down. The stores are closed. There's no government offices. Everything's done. There's nothing to do for 2 hours. So, following my true inclination of Vanuatu, I thought, hey, it's time for a nap. So I went down to, there's a park there, and it's right along the coastline, so there's a little breeze, and it's hot. So I find a place in the shade, not under a coconut tree. Hopefully, if you ever go to a tropical place, don't lie under a coconut tree. That's the stupidest thing in the world. Find another tree. You lie down under, it's not what the pictures are in the books, but you'll live. So I'm getting ready to lay down. I put my pack down on the ground. I'm kind of fluffing it like it's my pillow, you know, because it's, anyway. So I'm just getting ready to lay down, and I notice out of the corner of my eye, oh, there's some people walking toward me. Well, doesn't matter. I lay down, and just as I'm putting my head down and kind of nestling in, I hear somebody say, hello. And so I kind of look and wait, and he says, hello. And I goes, oh, he's talking to me. So I said, kind of lift up, say, hey. And he said, are you a pastor? And I said, yes, but why did you know? And then I realized it's in Vanuatu, if you're built like me, you're either a pastor or you're a government official. And he said, no, really, honestly, he said, we just felt the Lord was telling us to come over here and talk to you. And they're from a different island. They don't know me. They don't know what I'm doing there. And I said, really? I said, about what? They said, well, we have a lot of questions. I said, well, about what? And he just started asking me question after question. And they were all Bible questions. All the Bible questions about who is Jesus and what did he do and all these things. And everything I'm telling him, they're like, yes, that's what we thought. Yes, yes. And we talked for a couple of hours, and it turns out it was because Mormons had gone to their village on the other islands and had been pulling people away from the church. And they knew something was wrong, but they didn't know how to answer them. And so we spent a couple of hours during my nap. No, it was awesome. It was the best nap I never had. It was great. They went back to their island. I don't know what happened, you know, but all I know is we had a great time. And so what I'm getting at is the Lord has things that he wants us to do. But when they happen, you're going to find out they're easy. They're light. The most success I've ever had in all my years of inviting people to church, which I never do anymore because anytime I invite somebody to church, that's like a guarantee they won't come. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I don't think that happens to a lot of people. I know Brett has the same gift. He says, every time you invite somebody to church, they never come. But you know what happened? One day, this is the last story, and I'm finished, but I'm just telling you because, again, I was goofing off, okay? I was goofing off. It was a hot day. We had been working. We had been doing stuff. But honestly, even if we hadn't, we would go to this place we call the Blue Hole. That's its name. And the reason is it's a big hole, and it's blue. It's full, it's fresh water. Crystal clear, except blue in color, water. It's unbelievable. You can look it up. There's pictures online. Any tourist who finds their way over in our area goes there because it's so neat. And anytime a group comes from here, we go there because it's just, it's like the only place you can go to escape the heat. And it's really just about the most beautiful place I've ever been. So I'm in the Blue Hole, cooling down. It's my favorite thing is to go in there and try to heat up the Blue Hole with my body because I feel like I'm so hot. And I'm always just sweating, you know. And we sit on half-deflated basketballs because you can sit and then the water just comes just to your chin, keeping the rest of your body where the mosquitoes can't get you. And you just enjoy the cool water. And I'm sitting in the Blue Hole, just probably looking like a nerd, but just having a great time. And some other people come up to the place, a couple of men, and, you know, we weren't talking to each other. I was with a couple of our guys, a couple of pastors. And then one of the guys across the way says, hey, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm swimming. And he said, no, what are you doing here? And I said, oh, I'm teaching down the road. I don't like telling people I'm a pastor because, again, that's just like closing doors because people, oh, never mind. I don't want to talk to you. And he says, what are you teaching? I said, oh, I teach the Bible. And he's like, really? So he said, oh, and he started talking to me, and we started having a conversation. So he's like, you know, it gets awkward. I have to kind of go over and hang out with them. So we're talking, and they have some questions, and we talked about stuff, and they asked me, you know, I start telling them, oh, we have a church. And he's like, really? And where is it? And I tell him, and he's like, well, what do you believe about communion? And what do you believe about this? And he's just asking me questions. And the thing that was so cool is we just had this little conversation. He's like, I really want to come to your church. And I'm thinking, oh, you're just being nice. I know this is your way to end the conversation, and I'll never see you again. And that's kind of what I felt. I said, well, hey, if you want, you're welcome to come anytime. I told him where we're. And he said, well, we'd love to come. Could you come pick us up? I'm like, well, are you really going to come? And then I realized that I shouldn't say that. And so I said, well, I can't because I've got to be getting ready for teaching and everything. But I can send our truck, you know, or somebody can give you a ride maybe. Well, I send one of the guys to go see if the guy, and the next day, it was actually the next day or a couple days later. And these couple of men came the first week, and they the next week they came again, but with their families. And the next week they came with their families and some friends, the men's friends, some other men came. Then the week after that, those men and their families came. And ever since then, there's been just this, for Vanuatu, a very unique thing, and that is there are men bringing men to church, men dragging their families to church, and it's been awesome. I mean, it's a miracle. It's really cool, and I love it. And the thing that was so cool about this is I didn't even see that part of it happening, but then, oh, about a year ago, the men came up to me and said, do you realize what's happening here? The men are coming to church, and the men are bringing men. And once they told me, it's like, what do you mean? And they explained, I'm like, you're right. And the reason I say this is because it was not something that I did. That's a fact. I was out goofing off. I was swimming. I was enjoying the blue hole. And it's really, quite honestly, one of the biggest things that's happened in our whole time in Vanuatu. So what I'm trying to say is, be aware that sometimes you're working yourself to the bone and you're missing the Lord. Be aware that sometimes you're walking around weary and heavy laden and you're missing everything because the Lord says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't schedule yourself into oblivion. That's not from the Lord. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I love that. Something to think about. Something to pray about. And something to watch out for, because I bet if you really think about it, the things that you know God has done in your life, you'll realize that all the things that you didn't plan, you didn't work for, you didn't strive to make happen. Something to think about. Anyway, let's pray. Well, Father, we are thankful. We're really thankful that you sent your Son. And Jesus, we're so amazed that you give us a burden or a yoke that is easy and a burden that's light. Lord, you're not a taskmaster. You're not working us. You're not telling us all these things to do and change and be more and accomplish more. Lord, you just want us to love you and walk with you. And so, Father, help us to just do that, to not be so consumed about time and work and being active. Lord, help us to be active in the things that you want us to be active in. Lord, help us to have ears that can hear you when you whisper to us to talk to that coworker or to pray for that person or to just maybe turn down a different road or who knows, Lord, what it might be that you whisper into our hearts. Lord, help us to pay attention to that. And Lord, maybe even more than that, help us just to be available wherever we are at every moment. Because, Lord, we don't know how you're going to use this or what you're going to do, and it may be things that we don't even, never could even think about. So, Father, have your way, And Lord, I pray again, please bless my brothers and sisters in this room. Lord, make this group, make us a group of people that are just really in love with you, Jesus. And people who think about you all the time. So, Lord, have your way in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
To take advantage of our media ministry, we encourage you to visit us anytime at atheecreek.com, where we have our guest speaker studies and all of Pastor Brett's studies available as a free download.